And again, I'm so glad that you guys are here. I want to throw this statement out and see if you've heard it anywhere around America in the past few years. There are all kind of ways to go to heaven. Have you heard that? I mean, there's all kind of, we're all on the same path. We're going to end up in the same place anyway, right? Okay, now I've probably got your attention. So that common assumption gets spouted by folks that take issue with this statement, the exclusivity of Jesus for salvation. The exclusivity of Jesus for salvation. Now, this series we're in is entitled Just Jesus. And those three words in that statement, they should give us an answer for the hope within us. Heaven, exclusivity, and salvation. 1 Peter 3:15 tells us, and it speaks directly to people who already claim to be followers of Jesus. It says, instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. I read an article a couple of weeks ago in preparation for this, and if you go home and Google this, you'll get the same article. Why do Christians not talk about Jesus? Just Google, why do Christians not talk about Jesus? You have to go about three pages in, and you'll find an article that gives you three primary reasons for which most Christians don't talk about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to give you an order, but one of them was this, and that is we're afraid of rejection. We don't like it when people don't invite us into their space. I want to erase that for you because you're not welcome in every space already. I mean, we know that, right? I mean, I'm not welcome in your space. Sometimes you're not welcome in my space. You know how I know that? You're not coming to my house for Christmas Eve. You know why? That's my family, right? And now, trust me, I've been there. You don't want to be there for that. It gets ugly, right? I mean, you have spaces. And could I just say to you, by our very nature, there are some people that don't get in your space. You ever been walking down the mall or at a park somewhere and you look across and you don't know somebody, but you just think, I probably don't like them. I mean, at the same moment, there's probably somebody looking at you saying, I don't like them. And some of you are like, oh, that just breaks my heart. And others are like, you're doggone right. But the fact is, we need to separate that. The second reason that they said that people don't do that, I thought this one was interesting. I mean, actually, very interesting. Not only is it that we don't like it when people say no, thank you, what we don't like is many of us think that our faith is supposed to be private, that what we believe about Jesus, that's between me and Jesus. Well, that's both yes and no. But Jesus said, hey, if you will acknowledge me before mankind, I will acknowledge you before God the Father, which says to me that surely someone who would die for you, raised from the dead for you, go back to heaven and sit beside God the Father praying for you, he's worth acknowledging. All right, so let's wipe away both of those. Let's get to the third one that I think is absolutely positively true, and that is that because we're afraid we're going to be asked a question that we cannot answer. Okay, I just got to say to you, I get questions all the time that I cannot answer. There are sometimes people ask me a question, and I literally just have to say, I have no idea. Like if somebody says, why did God let that tornado happen, right? Okay, a lot of times I have to say, I have no idea. There are some things out there that we preachers refer to as the mysteries of God that we're never going to know, this side of heaven. And when you get to heaven, they're not going to matter, right? But right now, we think we're supposed to know everything. But I want to help you with that too, because you realize our brains are finite, created by an infinite God. And you can trust God with those things you cannot understand because he's in control of them. All we know when you see things that happen that we cannot understand is can we find answers for them? And many of them you can find. And if you don't know where to find them, it's called the Bible. Now, inside the Bible, you've got to actually dig a little bit and read a bit. But here's what I would say about this third issue. You say, well, Chuck, if I get asked a question, I don't have to answer it. Well, then whose fault is that? Okay, yours. All right? You could say, well, Chuck, no, that's your fault. You haven't done a good job teaching me. Well, then stop snoring when I'm talking and check in for a minute. All right? Or you could say, well, you know what, Chuck? I mean, just the church I grew up didn't do a good job. Okay, well, that may be true, but you've got a Bible, right? And you could say, well, it's the education or it's government or whatever. I mean, that's like eating a dozen Krispy Kremes every morning saying, how come I don't lose weight? I mean, at some point, there is an answer if you're willing to look. And when I look at this, I see 1 Peter saying, always have an answer and ready to explain it. But what is he specifically talking about? Have an answer for why just Jesus? Why is it just about Jesus? Now, I mentioned a little while ago that we fuss a lot about how the world has secularized Christmas. I mean, Christians have been doing this for years. We fuss at Santa Claus. I mean, we fuss at Buddy the Elf. Well, I really don't understand that. Like, you know, I get fussing at the Elf on the Shelf. I mean, you know, Elf on the Shelf, I mean, that's possibly satanic. I don't know. But I'm just saying, but some of y'all are like super creative with that. Kudos for what you do. Could you post those more regularly, but don't include me? And so I just say, enjoy all that stuff, man. Don't fuss about it. Like, do your tree. I mean, listen to Mariah Carey. Do whatever, right? Just stop to this one thing and recognize the whole stinking world stops, whether they know it or not, to celebrate the birthday of Jesus the Lord. The whole world does. So rather than railing on what the world has done with Christmas, how about bringing Jesus into that world that may not know him? And I would just say, then we ought to have an answer for why just Jesus. I mean, Paul said in Philippians 1, I'm torn between two desires. I long to go be with Christ, which would be far better for me. I mean, I look at this and I think to myself, we ought to be able to have an answer for, is Jesus really the only way that you can go to heaven? I mean, that's the exclusivity part, right? It's like, Jesus, you mean he's the only way to go to heaven? And then the question is, well, is heaven even real? Well, I think the Bible answers it for itself. Revelation chapter 21, I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes and there'll be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever. Now, as for me in my house, I'm ready to go. I mean, this afternoon, a friend of mine is going to have a funeral for his dad who went to sleep the other night and simply didn't wake up. Now, if you're going to go, that's the way to go, right? But, you know, nobody thought they were going to wake up the next morning and have to plan a funeral. You know, if I go to sleep tonight and I die, watch this. All three of you that come to my funeral, you can celebrate this one thought. Chuck's in heaven. I mean, I know that I know that I know. It is not a mythical place. It is not a made-up place. It is not a Pollyanna place. It is a real place. And when I get there, I'm going to hear, no matter how much I've messed things up, well done, come on in, and I'm going to see my mom, my dad, my grandparents, my sister. I'm going to celebrate. I'm going to have a time. And when I do, I'm going to walk on streets of gold. And when I do, I'm going to see people come off the curb and say, hey, I'm here because somebody told me about Jesus, and you happen to be it, and we're going to party in heaven. And when we do, I'm eating Krispy Kremes fresh out of the fryer, zero calories, boom. Are you with me? So I would just say, if it's just Jesus, let's go. You say, I don't like it when it's just, I don't like that, Chuck. That just Jesus, I'm one of my options. Okay. Here's the problem when we get to this. I want y'all to know, I am 100% on board on being inclusive. I'm 100% on board. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're brown. I don't care what color you are. I don't care if you're fat. I don't care if you're skinny. I don't care if you're bald or you're hairy. I don't care if you're gay or you're straight. I want you to know Jesus. Period. I don't care. You know why? Because I promise you, if Jesus showed up right now, the only thing he would want you to know is don't miss heaven. And what he'd say to you is the only way there is through me. Know me. So I look at this and I think, well, why would I let my pride get in the way of knowing that I can have Jesus exclusively for me? You mean I'd have to set this amount of pride aside? Now watch this. This is the amount of pride you have to set aside to leave room for Jesus. I'm not perfect. Done. So what we know is none of us are perfect. Listen to what Romans 3:23 says. For everyone has sinned, we fall short of God's glorious standard. Now watch this. Here's the good news. Like if I'm comparing myself to Glenn down here, all right? I mean, based on that, I'm a heathen. I mean, Glenn's just, he's a good dude. I mean, he's a nice guy. He loves God with all his heart, mind, and soul. I mean, he's a good fella. Now, if Glenn's comparing himself to me, give him sainthood now, right? I mean, I promise you, most of you compare your life against me, and you're winning, right? Here's the problem. We don't get to compare ourselves against each other. We compare ourselves against God's standard, and God's standard is perfect. Now, based on that, we're all losing. And since we're all losing, then we need a way to not have to lose. Jesus made a definitive statement about it in John 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to God the Father except through me. You say, well, Chuck, once again, there's that exclusivity thing. But watch this. It's not just exclusive. It's wildly inclusive. Because that same Jesus said, what? If you believe in me, I'll come to you, and heaven is yours. Now, get this. I mean, if we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and yet all of us can simply receive God's forgiveness, then you say, well, then aren't we all covered? No, we're not. You say, well, Chuck, then help me understand, how do you get to this conclusion? Now, watch this, right? We really have to get down to the bottom of this, and I want to start with 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He, meaning Jesus, died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, they will live for Christ, who died and was raised for them. So now, in a minute, I'm going to unpack that a little bit more, but there's some of you that you've just checked out on me. And you're saying, Chuck, could you give me a few more things that Jesus did other than heaven? Because that feels like a long way away. Well, now watch this. When you're 64, it doesn't feel that long away. I mean, seriously, I remember when I thought 60 was old. And now that I'm 64, I think 80's old. By the time I hit 72, I'm gonna think 100 is old. Are you with me? That's just kind of the way things work. How many, let's just be honest, right? How many of y'all are young enough to believe 60 is old? Let me see your hand. Come on. Be honest. Come on. Lord, curse these families. I'm kidding. All right, so let me throw out a few more things out here about what the Lord came to do. Are you ready? Watch this. He came to do the will of the Father, according to John 6. He came to bring light to the darkness, according to John 12. He came to beat and destroy Satan in Hebrews 2. He came to bring joy to me and you in Luke chapter 2. He came to fulfill 300 of the prophecies of the law and the prophets, including all the rest of them, in Matthew 5. He came to seek and to save that which was lost in Luke 19. And he came to bring me and you peace in Ephesians chapter 2. Now, that's just a start. I mean, I would just look at that and you say, I think if I were you and I didn't know Jesus at all, I would want to know this answer. Chuck, how could one person do all that? Okay, now look right here. You ready? I'm going to tell you something that most churches aren't going to say this, but I'm going to say it. No person can. No person can. Here's the good news. This is exactly why just Jesus is the story of Christmas, because it took more than a person. God saw our mess, picked Mary, said, you're going to have a baby. She's like, I know that's physically impossible. This ain't happened yet. And he was like, I know. That's one of the reasons I picked you. So she has a little earthly baby boy whose father is God the Father, who then picks this righteous dude, Joseph, to be his earthly daddy. And Jesus grows up to be fully man which allows him to appreciate and understand everything we would go through and die like we will, and yet be fully God, so that he could beat Satan and death and raise from that grave and return to heaven and create a home for all those of us that would trust him. Fully God, fully man. Not a person, just Jesus. So when you look at that, you say, okay, Chuck, I'm one of those people that likes more tangible, less spiritual stuff. Okay, well, you came to church. I mean, I don't know much to help you with it there, but I'm gonna give you a few things, all right? By the way, this is not in the notes. There are no slides for this. So if you want it, you're gonna have to go like the church Facebook page or something. Somebody will put it up there, all right? Who is Jesus? In chemistry, he turned water to wine. In biology, he was born apart from normal conception. In physics, he broke the law of gravity, ascending into heaven. In economics, he fed 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 little pieces of bread. In medicine, he cured the sick, the blind, and the lame without an ounce of medicine or surgery. In history, he's the beginning and the end. In government, he's the wonderful counselor and the prince of peace. In religion, he said nobody comes to the Father except through him. Jesus had no servants, but he's called master. Has no degree, but he's called teacher. Had no medicine, but he's healer. Had no army, but kings fear him. He won no military battles, but he conquered the world. He committed no crime, but he was crucified anyway. He was buried in a tomb, but he's alive today. So I just say, if you want to know Jesus, you just got him. You say, well, Chuck, doesn't that then mean we're all going to heaven? No. Because I want to give you a theological underpinning to go back to 1 Peter to give you a reason to answer the question, how can I answer the question? Now, this goes back. I remember taking New Testament survey and learning this phrase. So I want you to grab the phrase. We are saved by God, from God, and for God. All right, if you've never heard this before, this is good theological underpinning, all right? Saved by God, from God, for God. Saved by, let's take it back to Adam and Eve. God makes them perfect, made them intending for them to live forever. He said, you got one rule, don't mess it up. What did they do? Do the same thing we would, messed it up. All of a sudden, because of that, what happens? They die, all right? There 100% chance me and you are gonna die. You know why? Because from that day on, we've all missed God's standard of perfection, right? And you say, does that mean I was born a bad person? No, it means you were born with a penchant to sin, and you do, right? So now if you're here and saying, there you go, preacher, preaching down, chief sinner sitting right here, right? I'm right there with you. I'm ahead of the pack. If it's sinning, I promise you, I'm winning the race, all right? Here's the good news. We can be saved by God, because he loves us even in our sin. Hebrews 9:20 said, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And you say, well, Chuck, where does that come from? Well, it took a perfect, spotless lamb to give its life for the shedding of the blood, for there to be the forgiveness or atonement of sin. Now, if you haven't watched The Chosen's Christmas story yet, you should watch it this year. And watch how that little lamb is chosen. This is why Jesus is known as the perfect Lamb of God. So that when he was pierced and his blood was shed, there was no need for animals to give their life anymore, because the perfect Lamb of God had been given for the sin of you and me and the whole world. Well then, Chuck, doesn't that blood cover everybody? Yes and no. Yes, it covers everybody, but it's for whoever asks for it. Now you say, okay, Chuck, now we're back to that exclusivity thing. Well, let me give you the inclusive part of it. Anybody can ask for it. Yeah, but Chuck, I don't want to join a church. Don't have to. I'm not going to give to the church. Don't have to. I'm not going to get baptized. Don't have to. I'm not going to take communion. Don't have to. Well, then, Chuck, what do I have to do? Jesus, I believe you died for me. You rose from the dead for me. Would you forgive me of my sin? I want to turn my life around. I want to live for you, which means would you take over, because I'm messing this thing up. You say, Chuck, is that all I got to do? You're doggone right. Well, Chuck, why does everybody say it takes me more than that? Well, because somebody's telling you something more than Jesus said. As for me and my house, you know what I want? I want the red letters of Jesus. That's what I want. I want what Jesus said. And that's what he said. So you look at that and you say, okay, Chuck, I'm saved by what? I'm saved by what he has done for me. 1 Corinthians 15, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given a new life. I didn't need a better life, I need a new life. I didn't need a better heart, I needed a new heart. I didn't need to have a little bit of change in my ways, I needed Jesus to take over the wheel. Carrie was right. That's just too easy. 2 Corinthians 5, for God made Christ who never sinned to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. In other words, we're not right with God apart from Christ. You're only made right with God because of Jesus. The choice is so simple to me. A person is either for Jesus or not. You say, well, Chuck, can't I keep one foot in with Jesus and have one foot in the world and have both? Well, listen to what Jesus said about that. Matthew 12, 30, he said, anyone who isn't with me opposes me, and anyone who isn't working with me is actually working against me. You see, here's the thing. If Jesus gave you everything, which he has, if Jesus offers you everything, which he does, then why wouldn't you give him everything, allowing him to give you everything you cannot have apart from him, including heaven? You see, Chuck, I just don't get it. You said there was also two other parts, saved by, saved from. Now watch this. God is not fair. All right? You ever heard that? Yeah, but God is fair. No, he's not. If God was fair, we would get hell because we're all imperfect, right? And you say, well, Chuck, could you just give me a definition of hell? Is it like really that fiery place that they were talking about? And I'm real uncomfortable with that. There's only one way to not be uncomfortable with that. Assure that you're not there. You say, Chuck, you know, I was looking for you to give me a little more comforting word about the whole hell thing. Okay, I believe Scripture teaches it's real, hardcore, no escaping it apart from Jesus. You know what the worst part, though, is? That the literal definition is to be apart from God. To be apart from God's love. Man, that's hell. That's why we say to some people, I'm going through hell. You ever heard that? You don't understand. I'm just going through hell. You know what the answer to that is? You're going through that because you're living apart from God. You're literally choosing to live that choice. But with just Jesus, you're saved from that. It's choice that you get to make. You say, well, Chuck, what's the choice I get to make? Take both feet and get in with Jesus. Take both feet, get all the way in with Jesus. I mean, it's like, all right, then Chuck, how do I do it again? Jesus, will you forgive me? I'm not perfect. You know what he says he'll do? Absolutely. Yeah, but does he know how imperfect I am? Absolutely. And he still will. Matter of fact, the Bible said he came while you're in the middle of your sin. So yeah, absolutely. What else then, Chuck? Jesus, I believe you died for me. You believe he died for you? Well, yeah, okay. Jesus, thank you. You rose from the dead for me. You believe he rose from the dead for me? Yeah, okay, done. All right, what else, Chuck? I'm having a hard time keeping up. Okay, Jesus, I want to turn around and live for you. I mean, would you take over? Okay, I'm in. Awesome. Then you know what you just said? I want to turn from my way. I want to turn your way. Jesus, thank you for dying for me, raising from the dead for me. I want heaven. And you know what he says? It's yours. You know, when I did that, I didn't hear bells. I didn't hear whistles. I mean, I didn't spin around. Nobody threw snakes on me. Nobody slapped me on the head. I didn't knock over. I didn't faint. None of that stuff. But all these years later, I look back and I think, I could promise you, I know where I'm going when I die. When I draw my last breath here, you know what Jenny's going to say? Whew. But I know where he's at. And when she gets there, we're going to have a party. Because me and my sweetheart, we're going to be there together. Y'all watch this. We're saved by, we're saved from, we're saved for. Christians, when you claim to be a follower of Jesus, you're saved for God. To be light in a dark world and to walk with Jesus, and listen to this, is triumphal procession. We're walking out of the Benz last night, And us Georgia fans, I mean, we're mopa-doping all the way back to... I mean, we look like those Auburn girls crying last week on CBS. That's just for you, Val. And I mean, CBS panned over and I saw those girls cry. I felt the same way. We all want to win, don't we? Listen, when Jesus splits the sky wide open, when he comes back, I'm on the winning team. I'm going to ride with him. I'm going to walk in glory. I know where I'm going. I want you with me. And you might say, Chuck, I don't want to hang out with you. Heaven's a big place. Some of y'all are like, that's a good thing. I want you to listen to 2 Corinthians 2. But thank God he's made us as captives. Now watch this. The term captive isn't in shackles and chains. Captive is literally this: under his wing, protected. Right? He's got us. Captives, and continues to lead us along in Christ. Listen, there it is, triumphal procession. Doesn't that sound like, give me some of that. Like I like walking through, chest out, pounding, yes! He did what he said he would do, yes! I mean, walking through, heaven is mine, yes! You say, Chuck, that sounds prideful. Well, this side of heaven, I'm in. When I get there, it's going to be like, this is better than I ever thought, man. I always think about heaven when my dad walked in. My dad, when he died, was 400 pounds if he was a pound. And I'm imagining when my dad set foot on heaven, slim and trim and happening, he looked around and thought, this is better than I ever imagined. And knowing my dad, he said, I want me all of this I can get. He hadn't seen it all yet and having a blast. And someday, he's going to meet me just inside the gate and say, boy, come look at this. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere, like a sweet perfume. Our lives are Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. But this fragrance is perceived differently by those who are being saved and by those who are perishing. One more time, get in or get out. But if you choose to stay out, don't ever say you didn't hear the consequences, because now you know them. Chuck, it doesn't sound like Christmas, though. It's absolutely Christmas. It's the gift that came for you, just Jesus. We're blessed to get in on what God is doing by sharing the gospel, by telling people about Jesus for what he's done, by loving the least of these. In Yucatan, in Uvalde, backpacks, Clear Path, Meals on Wheels, single moms, foster care, foreign brother, border patrol, law enforcement, Gwinnett County Public Schools, and we're just getting started. You know why? Because we've been saved by grace. Whew. We've been saved from sin. And we've been saved for good works. But hear me, good works will not save you. You can't feed enough hungry people to earn heaven, y'all. You get heaven one way, just Jesus. You get to do good works for one good reason, just Jesus. To go out there and to not care for somebody's spiritual soul, but feed them a hamburger is sinful. But to go out there and only care about their spiritual soul and not feed them a hamburger is sinful as well. That's why James says what he says, and that's why John says what he says, and that's why Jesus said, get off your donkey and go do something. My translation. God created us for good works, yes, but Matthew in chapter 5 captures Jesus saying this: in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works for one reason. You ready? Not to tell you how good you're doing, not for you to get a clap, not for you to get an attaboy, not for you to be written up the paler, not for you to win Christian of the Year, which, by the way, seems oxymoronic, but to give glory to your Father who is in heaven, period. Why do you go to Uvalde? To bring glory to God. Why do you go to the UTAN? To bring glory to God. Why do you tell your neighbor you love them? To bring glory to God. Why do you love people who seem unlovable? To bring glory to God. Why do you forgive? To bring glory to God. Why do you worship? To bring glory to God. What do? To bring glory to God. When you give your life to Jesus, you bring glory to God. The work, the mission, the justice that we're known for has one person, just Jesus. It has one purpose, one Jesus. It has one wonderful, wonderful perspective, just Jesus. I finished up at 9:15 with this one thought this Christmas. That if you've just heard everything I said, whether you like me or hate me, what you can know is this one thing. What I just shared are not my opinions, nor the opinions of this church. They are literally the words of Jesus. So I would ask you, rather than taking my word for it, a person who has freely admitted to you that I'm a sinner, take Jesus's word for it, who clearly never was, who died for you, who rose from the dead for you, ascended after more than 500 people saw him, and is sitting beside God the Father praying for you right now. Take his word for it, that just Jesus, he and he alone, is how you receive forgiveness of your sin, and heaven is yours, and peace comes through him today. Take his word for it. You say, okay, Chuck, then what do I do with that? Give me 2 minutes, we're done. You ready? Then you call on the name of the Lord. Chuck, you gotta help me with that again. It just seems so like preachy, I don't get it. Well, let me make it so simple. Say it out loud, or say it silently, or whisper it, however you want to do it. Settle it right now. Jesus, will you forgive me? Thank you that you died for me and you rose from the dead for me. I want to turn my life around and I need you to take over. And would you give me heaven? Would you give me peace today? Because I believe my hope in heaven and in this earth is just Jesus. And friend, if that's the desire of your heart, if that's your prayer, if you said that or you want to say that and mean business with that, I'm going to ask you to do what I asked the folks at 9:15 to do. 5 people raise their hand right now. Just raise your hand. That's me, Chuck. I'm in. Amen. Who's up? Amen. Who else? Who else? Amen. 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 Who else? Anybody here? Anybody here? Amen. 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 Come on. Glory to God in the highest. Man, that's 9 or 10 people saying yes to Jesus. Come on. Now watch me, church. I want you to pay close attention to this. I want to state the obvious here. Hell just got smaller and heaven just got bigger. Praise God. But I'm going to give you another one. I grew up in a church where at this point people walked an aisle and some dude filled out a card and got your information and then they gave the card to somebody and some dude followed up with you later and they told you what you needed to do. And some people ask me, as a matter of fact, people ask me this all the time, how come y'all don't do that? Don't you follow up with people? Look right here, I want you to hear me, all right? I'm gonna give you deep theological reasoning here. If I can trust the Spirit of God in your life for heaven, I can trust the Spirit of God to draw you to baptism. Because you don't need me to manipulate you, because anything I can talk you into, somebody else will talk you out of. But anything God will talk you into, not Satan himself, can talk you out of it. So I'm gonna say to you, then what do I do now, Chuck? Get baptized just like you saw. Way to go. Girl, I'm proud of you. Do just what she did. Chuck, I just can't do that. Oh, shut up. Says you can. Stop it. Just man up. Sorry I said shut up, but I meant it. Get in a group and grow up in Christ. Start going to a Bible-believing church. You say, well, Chuck, what do I do? Read your Bible, man. It's not that hard. Seriously, just read a verse a day. Don't get crazy with it. Pray every day. Just let this be a prayer. God, I want to know more about you today. He'll hear you. He'll answer you. Ask for heaven. Ask for wisdom. Now look here, y'all. Heaven's real. Jesus is the way. And let's don't ever stop preaching it until the whole world knows that Jesus is Lord. The band's going to sing, and we're going to go in a minute. But before we do, I experienced something at 9:15. I'm going to invite you, because some of you gave your life to Jesus today. And in a minute, I'm going to ask you to do something that's awkward. And I'm going to ask you to just walk up to this altar. Nobody's going to bother you. You're not going to fill nothing out, anything like that. Just walk up this altar, get on your knees. Now, some of you have never seen anybody pray on their knees, and let me just show you what it looks like. That hurts. And it's just like this. Now watch, there's nothing magical about being on your knees, y'all. But there's something marvelous about the posture that says, you are God and that I'm not, and I'm bowing before you because you're God and I need you. If you're alone, you're lonely this holiday, get on your knees. You need financial help, get on your knees. Your health is bad, your family's health is bad, get on your knees. Your kids have gone back crazy, get on your knees. You're trying to figure out what your faith is, get on your knees. You're trying to figure life out, get on your knees. This blessing that we're about to sing about invites you to get on your knees. And we'll sing a little bit, then I'll ask you to stand, we'll holler and shout and leave, but for now, get on your knees. Y'all come onto the altar. Zach, y'all sing. Yeah.
Lord, bless you.
Bless the Lord.
And keep you.
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
Make his face shine upon you.
Yeah. Come on, y'all.
Be gracious.
Yeah.
Lord, turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Come on, church. I'm telling you, y'all, I don't have to wait till he splits that sky open. I can count on him right now, for he is with us. Emmanuel came that you might have joy in this moment, that you might have peace in this season, that you might have power in this life. Don't ever take that for granted, because he is King, he is Lord. And he alone is just Jesus. So let him go before you and make a way and make your crooked path straight. I gotta tell you, I got a few crooked paths this week, don't you? He's a road grader, bro. Let him go within you. Bring you peace and joy, fulfillment and contentment. Because he is always good. And bless God, you are always loved. And when life gets funky, man, and it does, let him come behind you, pick you up and carry you. Not around the mess. He wants you to see that victory happening in the thick of it. Only to set you down victoriously on your two feet and wipe away your tears. Kiss you on the forehead and wrap you up in his big old arms, man. Draw you up close so you can hear him say. And just Jesus can say this. My child, say it with me, church. I love you. Doesn't that feel good? God bless you, church. Go in peace.